Take the Word of God this evening, turn to this evening, this morning, amen, and turn to Genesis in chapter number 11, and then also find Acts in chapter number 7. Genesis chapter number 11, Acts in chapter number 7, and I want to preach to you this morning on a walk of faith, a walk of faith, and I'll tell you, the life of Abraham is just a life defined by faith, and I hope I can relate this to you this morning. God has from a place that He wants every one of us to go. If you're saved today, God's got an end destination, and God wants you to show up. And you say, "Yeah, that end destination's heaven." And I understand that if we know Christ, that our end destination's heaven. But I'm telling you, God has a desire for our destination here on earth. Amen? And it's going to require you walking by faith. And this is a great thing about our God. He never gives up on us. Amen. If we can learn anything from the life of Abraham, I'll tell you this. We can learn this. That we have a God that's faithful, that's loving, that's kind, that's merciful, that's long-suffering. See, that's a lot of things to learn. Amen. But it's all true about our God. And I'll tell you, God just every step of the way just kept just encouraging Abraham. All right, let's just take these steps. Let's take this next step. And God wants to take that same approach with you this morning. And it doesn't matter where you are. And it doesn't matter if you're not doing the will of God at all or you're halfway doing the will of God this morning. I'll tell you this. God loves you, cares about you. He's not going to give up on you today. He's not going to give up on any one of us. That ought to encourage every one of us because none of us are perfect. Amen? Yes. All right, half of us are perfect. The other half of us still need the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look in Genesis 11 and look at verse number 27. It says, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah beget Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran beget Lot, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity. In the Ur of the Chaldees, and Abraham and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Isca. And Sarai was barren, and she had no children." And this is an important statement. "And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there." Now, where did the Bible say they were going? Land of Canaan. Who the Bible says took who? Well, Terah took Abram. And it says in verse number 32, "And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." It says, now look at this. "Now the Lord had," that's past tense, all right? "The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation." Now I want to stop and I want to put our thinking caps on. What would we know the name of that land that he wanted to go to be? Canaan. If you're a student of the Word of God at all, you know that land would be the land of Canaan. Where did they set out to go? Canaan. That's what it says up in chapter number 11. And I want you to follow this with me. They set out from the Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. But where does the Bible say they stopped? Haran. We'll get to that. That's important. But they were going, and it says, "And I will make thee, when you get the land that I'm going to show you, I'll make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great." Remember, his wife was barren. They had no children. It's hard to make a nation with no children. It's just a fact of life. He says, "And thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." With a barren wife, you'll be blessed if you'll be obedient, if you'll go and do as I've instructed you to do, Abraham. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old, and when he departed out of Haran, not the Ur of the Chaldees, but out of Haran. It says in verse number 5, "And Abraham took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance and they that they had gathered and the sons and the souls that they had gotten where? In Haran." So they must have spent a little bit of time there because they amassed some wealth while they were there. So they spent a little bit of time in Haran. It says, "And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Unto a land of Canaan they came." Now go over to Acts in chapter number 7. In Acts in chapter number 7, Philip is speaking, and he references this time. He just gives us a little more information, so we know just a little bit more insight as to what is taking place. But it says in Acts in chapter number 7, look at verse number 1. "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men and brethren, the fathers and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt where? Sharon or Haran. And Sharon, it says there, but it's Haran in the Old Testament. And he said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and unto a land which I will show thee. And then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charon or Haran. From thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto the land wherein ye now dwell." So I want you to get this picture in your mind, if you will, this morning, that here God spoke to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, or as in the Old Testament, it talks about the Ur of the Chaldees. That's where God spoke to him. And God said, listen, this is what I want you to do. And when they left from the Ur of the Chaldees, it says that they went to go on their way to the land of Canaan, but they made a pit stop in the land of in Haran. And there they stayed for, we don't know how much time, but for a certain amount of time, so as to that they amassed some wealth unto themselves, to the point that they had manservants and servants that were that they owned and that they were that they had there, that they had gotten, it says in chapter number 12, and verse number 5, that they had gotten in Haran. They had spent a little amount of time there, and they stayed there until Terah, the father of Abraham, died. That's where they stayed, was in the land of Haran. And it wasn't until after his death that Abraham was actually obedient to the command of the Lord that he had received in the Ur of the Chaldees and went to do that which God had called him to do. And I want us to consider today this walk of faith. And I'm not trying to disparage Abraham. I'm not trying to run Abraham down. I think if God put our life story into a book like the Bible and people that read our life story, I think they'd find over and over and over again where God said to do something and we almost did it. Come on, where God said, this is my plan, and we knew what God wanted us to be, and we got halfway there. And then we got to where God wanted us to be, and then we didn't stay there. And then I'm telling you, just over experience after experience, I'm talking about in every one of our lives, we have a walk of faith that we're living. And what God's desire is of every one of us is that we would live a life of obedience. And in this journey of Abraham is a beautiful picture of him growing in faith with God. That's what it's a picture of, to where he gets where he gets to a place where he is trusting God more and trusting God more and trusting God more every step of the way. It's an amazing testimony, and God is in the business of making amazing testimonies this morning. There was nothing special inherently about Abraham other than God gave him a great testimony. And it doesn't matter where you start from, if you'll yield to the to God, if you'll yield to the Spirit of God, and you'll allow your life to be governed by God, I want you to understand, God can make something great out of your life today. God can do something great with your life today. And God wants to do something great with your life. And the story of Abraham begins with some difficult facts of life. It really begins with some difficult facts of life. We understand in chapter number 11 where we began reading, in verse number 28, Haran died before his father. That's Abraham's brother. He died before his father, Terah. That's a difficult fact of life, isn't it? That's nothing that that we say would be trivial at all. It would be a very devastating thing. And I know there's people in this room that can share the testimony. You know for yourself the hurt and the pain that would be involved in a fact of life like that if you've had to live it. And there isn't a parent alive that would want to live that fact out, that they would be here longer than their children. In fact, over and over and over again, as I've talked to people, I've heard them say these things, say some very similar to this. That my child died, and parents are supposed to die before their children, or children are supposed to live longer than their parents. So in one way, relate that in another, and understand with me what they're relating is this, that there is an emptiness and a pain that is felt by their child no longer being with them. That's a pain I don't think anybody would ever probably get over. It's probably at the best we could say, is one that someone would cope with, and someone would get to a place to where they could live with the reality that their child is no longer with them. But I don't know which one of my kids I could pick and say, man, life just would be going on the same if they weren't here. No, I'm telling you, life would be different. Life would be different. And it'd be a difficult reality to try to get over. And I want you to understand, but that's a reality of life that Tara had to live with. Again, I'm not trying to say it's not a small thing at all. That's a huge weight for someone to be bearing. It's a huge weight. We see another sad fact of life in verse number 30. Sarai was barren. She had no children. She couldn't have kids. That's a sad reality as well. It's a sad reality that there's a great amount of people today in this world that want nothing to do with kids. That's a sad reality. But even sadder is those who would desire to have them that can't. I mean, that's a burden. I know my sister, my brother-in-law would be in that place, and they worked and worked and worked to try to adopt a child, and it was a lot of effort that they went through, and there was some heartache that was involved with it. And understand with me. Listen, that's a heavy weight. It's maybe not as even heavier in our day as it was in their day, because there was a burden to carry on the family name. There was a burden to carry on the lineage that they had given. It would have been a burden on Abraham. It would have been a greater burden on Sarai, because it would have been a shame unto her that she had no children. This was a great a weight that they both would have had to bear. But it's actually a sad reality, isn't it? Not everybody can have kids. It's even sadder for those who really want kids. I'll tell you what makes my sister more upset and more, if you will, angry than anything is when she sees someone abuse the child that God gave them when she can't have any. I'll tell you, it's a sad reality. It's a sad reality. But those are facts of life, aren't they? See, I wish those weren't true, but they all are true. And every one of us are going to have difficulties that we're going to face in life. And maybe your difficulties are different than Tara and Abraham and Sarai, but those are just sad realities. And the realities that they went through, I mean, you can imagine when God went to Abraham and said, listen, Abraham, I want you to go away from your kindred. That would have been the land of his nativity. That would have been the culture that he was a part of. And that would have been everything that he knew. And God said, I want you to go away from your kindred. And I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave everybody behind. And I want you to follow after me. That would have been a very difficult reality for Abraham. I'll tell you who it really would have been hard for. Terah. Well, he'd already lost one son, hadn't he? I mean, he already knew the pain of having one go that he never could see again. He couldn't hold any longer, and he couldn't have with him any longer. He knew that pain, and he knew that difficulty. And when it came time for Abraham, that was probably seeking the Lord, you say, how did God speak to him? How did this all take place? Well, Abraham had his own hurts in his own life. I'm surmising here. I'll just say that. But I know Abraham had his own hurts in his own life. And it seems to me that when people have hurts in their life and when people don't have answers for the circumstances they're facing, that's when they generally tend to reach out to God. Yeah. And here Abraham had no children. His wife was barren. And in the midst of these life circumstances, God speaks out to Abraham. And God talks to Abraham. Abraham, for all intents and purposes, we don't know, but Abraham more than likely because of where he was coming from, in the Ur of the Chaldees or Mesopotamia, which would be modern day Iraq. It would be known not for the worship of Jehovah God and not for the worship of the Lord, but even in ancient times, it was known for the worship of the moon, just as Egypt was known for the worship of the sun. They were the worshipers of the moon. And when he left the Ur of the Chaldees or Mesopotamia, and he went over to Haran, if you study Haran, you'd find out this, that they used to be called the people of the stars in Haran. And so they worshiped the stars there. I mean, it wasn't like he left a little bit of what he was in the Ur of the Chaldees when he went to Haran. But understand with me, it wasn't that he was completely obedient to God that he went from Mesopotamia up into Haran and dwelt there. In fact, he was more in obedience to his father. Because when he went to his dad, who had his own hurts in his life, and says, "Listen, Dad, I've had problems in my life. I've heard from God, and God told me to do this." Terah didn't want to let go of Abraham. And it says in verse number, and I told you to notice this in verse number 31 of chapter 11, that Terah took Abraham. Terah took Abraham. Abraham didn't depart. No, his father brought him along with him. It says, okay, well, we got to go to the land of Canaan. Let's just go and make this detour. And if you look on a map, the land of Canaan is over right on the Mediterranean. And the Ur of the Chaldees or Iraq, or we can, if you want to look for a modern day place, Babylon, where Babylon would be, is over here. And up above where the Turkish border is to the north, just on the southern border of what is modern day Turkey, the city of Haran is still there. You can still go visit it today. It's been around since the times of Abraham, and it's still there today. And so they, if you will, they kind of went up, and they stopped almost halfway to the land of Canaan. And that's where they rested, and that's where they stopped. And again, we don't know how much time was spent there. We don't know how much time elapsed or how much time passed between them hearing from God and leaving the Ur of the Chaldees and going unto Haran on their way to Canaan. And their purpose, listen, when they set out, according to chapter number 11, it was to go into the land of Canaan. But listen to me, because Abraham was following Terah, his father, and not following God, guess where they never really got? Canaan. They never got where God was wanting them to go. Because Abraham, and you say, well, you're saying he was supposed to leave his father? He was supposed to break the heart of his father? No, I'm saying this. He was to be obedient unto God. I'll tell you, there are parents that hinder their children from being obedient to God. There are. That's another reality of life. And parents who instead of encouraging their children to walk in faith and to walk with God, I'm just so grateful that in my life I had parents that, understand with me, they made it blatantly clear to myself and to my brothers and sisters, I think would have the same testimony this morning, that listen, we'll support you doing anything in life and we'll be your biggest fan in life as long as you end up serving the Lord. That didn't mean in full-time ministry. That didn't mean that we had to all be preachers. That's not what they meant. But their desire was that we would worship God and that we would walk with God. And my dad said, you can be a lawyer, you can be a garbage man for all I care about. I just want you to walk with the Lord. I'm thankful for parents that encourage that. I know this to be a fact, though. Not all parents encourage that. Some would discourage it. And some are like, well, if God called you, I mean, he's going to call you somewhere away and I'll never see you again. And that might be a reality. That might be true. I can't say that it's not. But I do know this, that the safest place for any child of God to be is right in the middle of the center of the will of God. It is. We'd stop and we could even... Listen, we can look at this, and we got young men graduating from Bible college, and I'm getting phone calls from preachers, hey, I want them to come here, and I want them to go there, and understand with me. I'm just of the mindset, I want them all to come back here. We've invested in them. But that might not be the plan of God. Might not be. And for us to stop and go, well, man, we've been sending them care packages every semester, and we've been praying for them, and we encourage, we've sent them love offerings, we've done all these things, and I tell you, there's parents in the room that would be of the same opinion. Man, that they need to come right back here, but that might not be the will of God, even though it's the will of mom and dad. There's been a lot of life that's happened for Terah. And now his son's leaving, and so Terah's like, no, I'll take you, and we'll go to the land of Canaan. But they never really got there until Terah died. They got halfway there, and I say halfway there, but we wouldn't even be close to being halfway to the will of God, because he said, yeah, you need to leave your culture. He never really left his culture. The culture up in Haran and the religion up in Haran would be very similar to the religion and the culture there in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God wanted him to completely separate from that culture and from that kind of false religion. He wanted him to separate from that, but he also wanted him to leave his father's family. He said, get thee from thy kindred, that be your culture, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And you realize Abraham, he didn't leave his father's house. He just moved his father's house to a place that was closer to Canaan than he was before. And he moved with them. And even after his father died, and I'm going to just go through the life and story here real quick with you of Abraham. Even after his father died, he didn't leave his father's household in Haran. He took Lot with him. That was his father's, his brother's son. And he took his brother's son. He said, listen, we're going to make our way on down to Canaan. And Lot came along with them. And you can read over the next couple chapters in chapter 15 and 16 and 17 about the mess that Lot got into. Understand, here you say, well, I mean, he's his uncle and he was taking care of his family. And what else would you want him to do or expect him to do? Lot didn't find himself at all in any favorable positions when he got down there. In fact, things got between Abraham and Lot to the point to where Abraham just said, Lot, listen, we can't dwell together any longer. And you're going to have to go one way and I'm going to have to go the other. And so Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and went down there and found himself involved in everything that was taking place in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. So much so that God had to come down and pull, and you know the story, had to pull his wife and his daughters out of the city. And they couldn't even find 10 righteous people down there in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to spare their lives. God brought all the righteous out. And in such a sad story, Lot's family was so messed up that his wife couldn't take her eyes off of the things that they had going for him there in Sodom and Gomorrah. It ended up being a pillar of salt. I want you to understand with me, we can stop and go, oh man, good old Lot was a good old Abraham was being a good uncle and taking care of his brother's son. His good old boy uncle didn't help him out one bit by bringing him with him. And you say, well, we don't know what the story of Lot might have ended up like had Abraham not followed, had Abraham not brought him with him. But we do know this, he wouldn't have found himself in a cave committing incest with his daughters, allowing there to be lineages that were one day going to come back. And you study out the Old Testament, those children that were born of Lot would later on come back to be a frustration to the children of Abraham. Yeah, they sure would. Nothing really good came out of him going with his father and keeping his nephew Lot. In fact, it became more of a burden to him. Became more of a burden to him as well. And then we see in chapter number 12, and I've already mentioned it, but chapter number 12, you say, well, what's taking place? Well, Abraham gets into the place that God had already told him to go to when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. He finally finds himself there. And in chapter number 12, in verse number 6, it says that the Lord appeared, I'm sorry, verse number 7, says the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Whew! Praise the Lord, we're here. We stop and we can finally think, okay, so all this time and all the disobedience, God's finally brought him the land. God showed him the land. God said, listen, this is the land where I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing and I'm going to make your name great and you're going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And you understand that which God would have been bringing him out with to be able to give him seed was going to be fulfilled, and that burden of life that he was carrying was going to be taken care of here in this land of promise. But then you go down to verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. God had called him to sojourn in the land of Canaan, but because of famine, I mean, things just weren't as favorable where God had placed him. And that's just another, guess what, sad reality of life, that sometimes the place that we are placed in is not the place where we find most favorable, and it's not the place we find most comfortable, and it might be a place where we find it to be a little uneasy. But listen to me, child of God, it's the place where God desires to bring blessing. And sometimes the things that we look at as the most difficult in life to deal with and things that are unfavorable to deal with are really honestly that which God is trying to use us to perfect us, to allow us to accomplish what he wants us to be. That's true in the life of every individual. That's true in the life of a church. Yeah. James chapter 1, In James in chapter 1, listen, God says, listen, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But, verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work in you, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There's not one of us that stops and goes, man, I can't wait for that next trial. I'm telling you what I cannot wait for. I can't wait till that next opportunity where I'm going to suffer a little bit, where I'm going to struggle a little bit, where I'm going to have hardship. I can't wait. Lord, bring it on. No, none of us are acting like that. But at the same time, every one of us, when we go through a trial, should be able to look at it in faith and go, listen, while I might not be able to control this thing, while I might not like this thing, I know who is in control. And while it might seem like famine today, I know God is doing a work and wants to do a work in my life. That's true in James in chapter 1 about the individual. But if you go over to 1 Peter in chapter number 5, 1 Peter in chapter number 5, Paul's talking to a church. He talks to the elder, that the elder's to rule well, not to be a lord over the Lord's sheep. And then he talks to the sheep, and the sheep, they're to be subject the one to another. And then he talks about the roaring lion that cometh about, seeking whom he may devour. He talks about how we're supposed to humble ourselves. And you get over to verse number 10 in 2 Peter, in chapter number 1, and as he's giving these instructions to a local church, to a group of believers, he says this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. Come on. That's true of the believer. It's also true of a church, that there might be times of some suffering together. There might be times of struggle together as a church and as a body of believers. There might be those times when there's going to be suffering. But this is what the suffering is supposed to produce. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You realize God has a plan in the suffering, and God didn't bring Abraham to the promised land so that he could experience famine. God brought Abraham to the promised land, and he allowed famine so that Abraham could see the power and the glory of Almighty God. That's why he brought him there. That Abraham could learn to trust him, that no matter whether it's feast or whether it's famine, I know this, that God, who is God, has everything under control, and God's going to take care of this situation, and God's got this, and I don't have any need of worry because I know my God. I've trusted God by faith. I've stepped out by faith in obedience to God, and I know that God's faithful. He'll not suffer me, according to 1 Corinthians 13. He'll not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. And listen to me, many times we're guilty of what Abraham's guilty of, that we don't allow God to make a way of escape. We just journey on over onto Egypt for ourselves because we know that if in our own flesh, and we know that we can make this problem go away for ourselves. Instead of being patient on God for God to accomplish His work, we go our own direction, we go our own way because we think, man, we're going to help God out. Obviously, this caught God by surprise. God doesn't know what He's doing. God doesn't know what He's trying to accomplish. Listen to me, the entire time is you don't know what God's trying to accomplish. And you don't know what that famine that you're experiencing might be able to bring in your life. And you don't know what that trial that God has you facing today is going to accomplish in your life. And you don't know because why? Because you have a lack of faith in who God is to know what God is wanting to do. And that trial that you're fighting today, and that thing that you're avoiding today, and that area of your life that you've gone almost halfway, you've almost been obedient to God, you've almost done what God wants you to do, and you've pacified yourself in doing it, and you've made yourself content with where you're at, even though God wouldn't be content with where you're at. Listen to me, that area of your life today, you have no idea what blessing God is withholding from you because of your lack of obedience. Because there was also a day in Abraham's life, I mean, after he'd walked in faith for a while, I mean, after he just time and time again, even in his foolishness, even in times when Abraham didn't obey God fully, And even when Abraham was unfaithful to God, God was always faithful to Abraham. And God was always lovingly trying to draw Abraham. Listen, Abraham, we're gonna go right back here. We're gonna continue to work on your faith. Listen, even in time after time that God had to work on Abraham's faith, there did come a time in Abraham's life to where so many times by faith he saw God make a miracle happen and make a miracle take place and God come through and God always be faithful. But God looked down at Abraham after the promised seed had been given. He said, Abraham, I want you, and he asked probably the thing that, listen to me, that would be most difficult for any father to do, any parent to do. If you think about it this way, he asked of Abraham to do what Terah, his father, was unwilling to do. And Abraham, I want you to give me your only son. I want you to go ahead. I want you to go to a mountain. I'm going to show you where it's at. You just have to step out by faith and go. I'll tell you when you get there. And I want you to take and sacrifice your only son on an altar, Abraham. And the Bible says that Abraham rose up early the next morning. And he got all the things together and he set out on a journey. And he found the mountain. He looked at his servants. He said, you stay here. And I'm telling you, one of my favorite parts of this whole story is Abraham looks at his servants. He says, you here, you stay, I stay here. The lad and I are going up the mountain and we will return. He said, we're both going up and we're both coming back. Well, why is that? Because Abraham knew that God had given him a promise. And he already promised it. You read in chapter number 18 and 19. He made it very clear. Listen to me. Isaac is where your seed is going to be named. Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac is not Ishmael, but Isaac is the promised seed that I have given unto you. Amen. Abraham said, if God's already said this is the promised seed, I'm by faith going to believe God. I'm going up the mountain. And whether there's a sacrifice made or not, we're both coming down that mountain. And you know the story. He goes up the mountain and part way up, I don't know, but as they're heading that way, Isaac carrying the wood for the sacrifice. And he says, Father, behold the fire. Abraham had the fire. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the sacrifice? And he said, don't worry about the sacrifice, son. God's going to provide himself a lamb. It's at the end of that story. Listen to me. It's at the end of that story that God looks down and says, now I know. Now I know. Look at it with me. Chapter number, 20. Chapter number 22. Chapter number 22. He says, verse number 8, God will provide himself a lamb. And it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham. Verse number 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon thine lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You realize that every step of the way, he had good days and he had bad days. Every one of us do. Continue to look at facts of life. And he just continued to grow in his faith and continue to walk and listen to me. It got to a place to where, he asked one of probably the most difficult things in the world he could have asked Abraham to do. And Abraham said, I have so much faith in God that I know that God can be trusted. Yeah. I know it. You say, well, that's a hard walk of faith. I want you to understand with me that God has the same walk of faith for you today. You can go over to Luke in chapter number 18, and in Luke in chapter number 18, you're going to find the story of the rich young ruler. And in the rich story of the rich young ruler, he comes and says, listen, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And the Lord said unto him, listen, what saith the law? And he says, well, you need to do these commandments. And he says, okay. He said, but I've kept the commandments from my youth up. And he says unto him, listen, one thing thou lackest. This is what the Lord said unto me. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful because he had much riches. And then the disciples, they look at Jesus and they say, listen, Lord, we have left everything. We dropped our nets. We've given up everything to follow after you. And he says, listen, there's nobody that's given up. And he says this, mother and father, husband, wife, children. He says that in Luke 18, to follow after me, who shall not receive manifold more in this present life, but also world to come without end. You understand? That which God asked Abraham to do, he's also asking you to do. To go ahead and trust him to let go of those things that he's asked of you. To go ahead and get to a place to where, listen, I know I can give God everything he asked for. I know I can be obedient. I know I can be obedient today with anything that God's asked of me. Because I know God's faithful. And understand, it's not up to me. It's not up to me. I can't, listen to me, I can't make my kids live forever no matter what I do. Can't. I can't make my wife submit to me any more than she can make me love her. I can't. There's a lot of things I can't do in life. But there's a lot of things also, if I just be obedient to God, if I just be faithful to God, if I just give God what he asks for today, God's able to take care of. God's able to meet needs. I want us to get this today, and we're almost done. That we don't allow life to keep us from the perfect will of God. There's people in this room today, and there's circumstances in your life that are keeping you from being in God's perfect will. There's hardships that you've faced. There's failures that you've had. There's discouragements that you've gone through. And you think, man, if I was to step out and be obedient again, if I was to try to put myself out there, I'll fail again. Understand. But if it's done in obedience to God, God's promised blessing upon those who are obedient. Obedience to God brings blessing. You need to learn how to step out by faith. Abraham sure did. And that which his father was unable to do, he was able to do. And that which he wasn't able to do at the beginning, and he wasn't able to stand up and be as strong as he should have been at the beginning. No, there was one day where he said, listen, I know God's faithful. And God can have anything he asks for. And by faith, I'm going to give it to him. Because I trust God. God never stops working on us. He doesn't. He never stops. And you and I, we're in a walk of faith. We get saved and we begin to follow God, and God has us take one step after one step after one step. And he has an end goal in mind. He knows what the rough edges need to be knocked off. He knows what submission needs to take place. He knows what needs to happen to get it accomplished. He knows exactly what trial you need to face to make you perfect, to make you established, to help you to be strengthened in this life. He knows exactly what you have to go through. There's no way Abraham would have looked back in life and said, I saw it all perfectly. I knew exactly what God was doing. I knew exactly where God wanted us to go. It was just as clear as day. No, this is what it took. Every step took faith. And where Abraham faltered, he had a lack of faith. And where Abraham exceeded and was blessed, he was obedient by faith. And everyone in here, I don't know where you're at this morning, but if you're saved, you're in a walk with God. And if you're not saved, listen, you're struggling through life without any hope at all. And God would like to give you hope. But God, by faith, would like to get you to where he knows you need to be. That's where he'd like to get you. So where you'd be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Abraham, you're barren. Abraham, you've had some difficulties in life. Listen, Abraham, I know where you need to be. If you'll trust me by faith, I'll take you there. That's what God wants. He, by your faith in him, wants you to take you from where you are to where you need to be. And honestly, where you would want to be, if you'll trust him by faith. And he's willing to be patient and long-suffering and loving to get you from where you are to where he desires for you to be this morning. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.